I want to make a point about the FLT3 patients. If I have today a FLT3 ITD patient who's older, say in the 70s, I usually put them on azacitidine with sorafenib because we've done an analysis of all our patients with FLT3 since 2005. This is the time when we started applying FLT3 inhibitors across the board to the young and old patients. And we have a significant improvement in the survival compared to the historical data. So we're waiting for the randomized trials, but I'm convinced that the FLT3 inhibitors are going to improve the survival in the FLT3 ITD. In the young patients, we have improved the 5-year survival from 20 to about 40%, which is equivalent to the FLT3 ITD negative patients. So now we're starting to question whether a pure FLT3 ITD would be an indication for a transplant or whether we treat those patients, include a FLT3 inhibitor, and then decide on the transplant based on flow cytometry minimal residual disease.
Any hypothesis about why you see benefit in FLT3 negative AML?
No, that was the very surprising finding, which tells us that we really don't know as much as we think we do about the biology of the disease and the mechanisms of drugs. So this is a very happy surprise, and it suggests that perhaps better FLT3 inhibitors, such as quizartinib or the third generation, when added to the chemotherapy, could improve the outcome not only of the FLT3 ITD patients, but across the board.
Just to clarify, though, are you using sorafenib right now in FLT3 negative AML?
The data just came out. We need to discuss this in our leukemia meeting and decide. Today, we do it as routine practice in all patients who are FLT3 ITD. So when we screen the patients, if they are FLT3 positive, the protocols incorporate the addition of sorafenib if the patients are not eligible for other studies. We have not decided to do the sorafenib yet in the FLT3 negative patients, but this study brings up a discussion that should be considered very seriously about that possibility.
So Wendy and then Charlie.
I just wanted to emphasize that I think it's fascinating. We're always so focused on getting the best targeted agent to treat a disease. And here I think the idea was that we were going to improve the outcome of the FLT3 mutated patients, but sorafenib is a multi-targeted kinase inhibitor. And I think that we know that there are many other kinases that are activated in AML, and perhaps the reason for the benefit, as Doug pointed out, it was more even in the non-FLT3 mutated patient, is because of its non-specific multi-targeted kinase effect. And I think that that is a very interesting point. And sometimes when we design our trials, we're so focused on one particular group, but we should be more inclusive because sometimes, like you see here, there's a pleasant surprise that occurs that isn't really what we necessarily had hypothesized to begin with. And when we have a multi-targeted kinase inhibitor, it could just be that that's the better drug for all of AML than just for a particular subset.
Charlie?
Yeah, that's certainly one explanation. But let's assume that the mechanism is its effect on FLT3 alone. Most AMLs overexpress FLT3. So that is conceivably a driver in the absence of a mutated FLT3. And in fact, when the discussions were held about the 7 and 3 plus or minus midostaurin, most of us really wanted essentially two studies in one, FLT3 negative and FLT3 mutated, in order to address this question. The company, I think mistakenly, did not want to do it. With respect to sorafenib, a lot of this started with anecdotal dramatic responses in FLT3 mutated people who relapsed after transplant, where essentially you have very, very little to do. And some fairly dramatic responses were seen, not universal by any means, but they were more dramatic than the activity of sorafenib against FLT3 might have predicted, because it's not the strongest FLT3 inhibitor, also suggesting that there may have been some immunologic manipulation that may have occurred, because I think that's really where a lot of this started, was post-allo relapse.
Doug?
Yeah, Charlie makes a good point in the non-FLT3 patients. Any chemotherapy will upregulate FLT ligand, you know, throughout, so you can get super sky-high levels. And one of the reasons that some of the FLT3 inhibitors may not have worked so well is that they can't overcome that much. That may not be so important in a non-FLT3 leukemia, yet the ligand is still elevated, and sorafenib, a lot of different impact, may be able to help overcome some of those stimulatory effects as well. So one of the most exciting parts about the paper presented is that I think it reopened our eyes to thinking, hey, adding these targeted therapies, be they specific or be they broad and dirty targets, can have an impact on our disease, a meaningful impact, I think, for a lot of people, doubling of their effect. So I think we're opening the door again to some of these.
So, hey, Gop, can you